Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick with you. Well, we began our show today with critics of the Gang of Eight's compromise on immigration reform. That's coming out this week, that Gang of Eight proposal. Well, joining us now is someone with a personal take on immigration reform in more ways than one. Sayu Bojwani went from being an undocumented immigrant to an American citizen and then New York City's first commissioner of immigrant affairs. Now, these days, she helps other first and second generation immigrants seek public office through an organization she founded called New American Leaders Project. Sayu, welcome.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. Well, you're listening to this debate over the Gang of Eight and immigration reform and amnesty and deportation and pathways to citizenship. They're talking about you.
Yes. Well, you know, it's one of the reasons that I wanted to share my story, because I think that one thing that's lost in this debate where we kind of vilify this population of undocumented immigrants is how easy it is to fall out of status, how with the best of intentions and the desire to stay here, that the process of falling out of status is very simple. And I wanted to make sure that people understood that there were many faces to this story, that people like myself who had been in and out of the United States could fall out of status, people like myself who had gotten a graduate degree and made some efforts to stay here, found it a very complicated process. And even though for me it's just one page in my story, for many people, the undocumented process is almost their entire story in the United States.
And so as you see the Gang of Eight process unfolding, Sayu Bojwani, and another attempt at immigration reform, are you encouraged, say, by the effort to take 11 million people who are already here and give them a 13-year wait before they can become citizens?
Well, let's just say that I'm cautiously optimistic, because I know that some of your viewers or listeners may know that we've been down this road before. Now, I do think that there's a political momentum and an economic imperative and, frankly, a moral movement that we haven't seen before, at least.
Well, let's talk about those. Actually,
in the U.S.
Okay, let me stop you right there, because you did mention that some people say we have heard this before. Now, Mark Krikorian joined us earlier in the show, executive director for the Center of Immigration Studies. Here's what he had to say.
Well, this is really the failed 1986 approach, but on steroids. So it's, this is clearly the worst thing that Congress has seriously considered, I think, that we've ever had in immigration history.
Now, there you go. He says we have seen this before, 1986. He agrees with you there, and that this is even worse.
Well, let me just be clear. When I said that we've seen it before, I meant the efforts in 2006 and 2007 to rectify the broken immigration system. I think what we saw in the Immigration Reform and Control Act was not something that was gone awry. I think that was an important time in our country's history to provide people who had already been living in this country and contributing to the economy and to our society an opportunity for full citizenship, which is, you know, the aspect of what's going on now that I'm encouraged by. I think what I'm concerned about is that many people's hopes, including, you know, friends and family members of mine, are being risen, and people are feeling very optimistic about what's going on. And my caution comes from having been down this path before. One last thing I'll say on this issue is that, you know, for people who hear in the news that immigration reform is happening, for those people who are not as closely involved, who don't understand all the details and the legislative process, they can be very easily fooled by immigration practitioners, fraudulent practitioners, that there's already a process. People can be exploited. So I think that every time this debate arises, it raises people's hopes. It creates potentially false expectations. But do I think that it's a problem that we're talking about fixing the system? Absolutely not.
Well, let me play one more cut to you then for you from Mark Krikorian, because he has some of the critiques that you're addressing, Sayu Bojwani. Here's Mark Krikorian from earlier in the show saying that, you know, immigration reform might help the big corporations and the fruit growers and the construction companies. Doesn't help the little guy. Listen.
I'm worried more about ordinary people with relatively little education, don't really have a lot of good prospects in the job market, but if the labor market is tight, they are in the driver's seat, and government policy's role should be to, if there's any thumb on the scales, it should be on the side of people at the bottom, not people at the top.
Saya Bajwani, First Commissioner of Immigrant Affairs in New York City. You hear Mark Krikorian there saying all this is going to do is suppress wages, put the thumb on the scale in favor of corporations, not the little guy who's living here.
Well, I never thought that I would agree with Mark that government should be concerned about the people on the bottom of the scale. But I don't think that research supports what he's saying. I mean, there's a clear relationship between the ability of immigrants who have status to be able to move between jobs, to be able to get higher wages, and to be able to contribute more both to the overall strength of the economy as well as to our tax base. And I think economics are only one aspect, right? We want parents who have citizen children to be able to participate in the PTA and to be involved more actively in their children's education, something that they may be afraid of doing if they're undocumented. We want people to be able to participate in the democratic process, to determine who our leaders are going to be, to vote, to themselves run for office, to get involved in other civic activities. So I think Mark's perspective is a singular perspective that is informed by a very different set of experiences than many of us have.
Saya Bajwani, before we let you go, this Gang of Eight proposal, this pathway to citizenship for 11 million people, I know you're thinking about it. What would this have meant for you when you were undocumented? If this had been passed 20 years ago, how would life have been different for you, do you think, or at least getting to be a U.S. citizen?
So, you know, I think my perspective on this is just slightly different on the personal side, because I was undocumented for a very short period of time, and I was lucky enough to get out of that very quickly because of my own personal and professional resources. That is not the case for 11 million people or for many of the 11 million people. So I think what's different is that once this passes, you're talking about a very significant portion of our society being able to have access to opportunities that are now out of their reach. The flexibility in the labor market, in their own job opportunities, the ability to access education at affordable rates. I think there's just a wide range of opportunities that will open up that are shut right now for too large a segment of our society.
We have a long way to go in this immigration debate. The Gang of Eight proposal is coming out, and we're talking with someone who had a direct stake in a law like this. Sayu, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Saya Bajwani is a former undocumented immigrant, now an American citizen, and a leader, founder of New American Leaders Project. Well, we've been hearing your family's immigration stories all this hour, and whether those stories have impacted your feelings regarding the immigration debate in Congress today. Mariska from Arizona texted us to say this: my dad is American, my mom is a legal alien and never wanted citizenship, and I'm a dual national. I think of citizenship as more fluid than most, and that we worry too much about borders and not enough about people. Well, we also got this story.
Hi, this is Milos Markovic from New York. I came here in 2006 as a student. My father and I sold everything we had so I can pay for my tuition here. I got a job for an American company, and for 3 years and $15,000 later, I was not able to get an extension of my visa. So I had a choice between going back to Eastern Europe, a war-torn country, or staying here and waiting for something like this new immigration reform to happen.
Give us your take at 8778-MY-TAKE. You can always send us a tweet at The Takeaway. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Todd Zwillick. John Hockenberry is back tomorrow. This is The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for Increased Understanding of East and Southeast Asia. The Takeaway is produced by WNYC and Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.